Well, it is a Tie Tuesday, and the law, Ty Law, will join us at 9, so less than an hour from now, on this morning's show. Tomorrow, Mego will be here at 9, and we will talk Celtics. Jason Tatum, Eastern Conference Player of the Week for the second time this season. Only guy so far to get more than one. So
His road numbers have been ridiculous.
Maybe that bodes well when it comes to the MVP, and we'll talk to Mego about all things Celtics tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, it's still going to be, because I think if you also look at, which will be interesting, if you look at Nikola Jokic's numbers, too, have been, like, odd, amazing, especially in, like, the last five or six games, so you'll see them head-to-head. But I think that this is the year that maybe, kind of like we see in football, where we got to, you know, Lamar's having a great year, but you know, might be like, all right, we've given it to Lamar twice. Yeah, maybe it's time we give it to another guy, Josh Allen.
It's probably going to be Josh Allen, right?
I would think so. I would think so. You could make an argument for Lamar Jackson, but I think that it comes to he's already got it a couple times. And Josh,
I think if Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen had never won an award before, it would be Lamar Jackson, and it wouldn't be that close. I really think it's Wiggy's talking about is spot on, that there is a desire for some fresh blood.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Lamar Jackson, he's been, without him, that team maybe has seven wins, six wins.
Yeah, but then again, without Josh Allen, that team probably has, what, like five? Yeah.
I think that the Bills' offense is more talented than the Ravens.
Yeah, but the narrative entering the year was, this is the worst supporting cast Josh Allen has ever had. They traded away Stephon Diggs. Like, they thought that it might be a rebuilding year for the Bills. Like, people had them out of the playoffs, and then they're one of the only teams to beat the Kansas City Chiefs.
And Baltimore's offense, you know, Curtis, I disagree, is much better than the Bills. I mean, you got Lamar Jackson and you got Derrick Henry. You got Mark Andrews,
Zay Flowers.
The kid Isaiah Likely's doing a tremendous job.
I feel like those guys, if it was Mac Jones throwing them the ball, I don't know if Zay Flowers, as much as I love Zay Flowers, BC guy, like I don't know.
But you know who would be good would be Derrick Henry.
Yes, he is good.
That would be, and so I think it's the fatigue of Lamar. You know, even though he's having a great year, and you could make the argument, that's why I think maybe hopefully in the NBA it'll be the fatigue of the Joker, and it'll be like, all right, you know, maybe it will be Tatum.
It also just can't be a stats award. They have to incorporate winning somehow, and by beating the Chiefs, being the only team to beat the Chiefs in the regular season, the actual Chiefs team, like, I think that goes a long way for Josh Allen.
Well, not fatigued. Our news director here at WEEI, Courtney Cox.
Correct.
And back to the rest of this morning's news.
And just want to say, my mom weighing in, because she's very worried that Wiggy is going to hate that part of Florida forever. We have to bring Wiggy to the sunset at the bar at the Ritz. So on the beach, beach bar, sunset.
Oh, yeah. Wiggy doesn't like Fort Myers when we go.
Right.
He thinks it's all strip malls.
When it comes to Florida, I tend to listen to Curtis, and Curtis always talks about we should go to the
East Coast,
other side of Florida. And,
well, we really can't.
I know that.
We're bound by the obligation to broadcast at Baby Fenway.
Oh, we can't remote do it?
What if my parents hosted a week-long road show?
Right.
Oh. Well, I mean,
we could do that.
Very nice.
I haven't checked with them, but
they have room for everybody.
They sure do. We could all have a nice time.
I enjoy the weather, so I won't trip on Fort Myers, but it is a giant strip mall, and I'll enjoy the weather.
But we'll bring you to the bar on the beach.
That is one of the great bars in America, Wiggy.
All right. We'll check it out.
We love our affiliate stations here.
Yes, we do.
And so we want to make sure that they're covered in the news. And a man from Maine, Justin Graves, was arrested and has been charged after he exposed himself to a teen in the parking lot at a Hanover shopping center on Sunday morning.
Was he overwhelmingly aroused by what was on sale at the Hannafords?
It must have been. Police say that the victim was sitting in her car at Hanover Crossing when Justin pulled up next to her in his truck, started staring at her, then got out of the car and exposed himself. Investigators say he got back in his truck, started driving in circles around the girl's car twice, honking his horn and trying to get her attention. She, of course, ignored him, but she got a photo of the truck and license plate, so police were able to find him quite quickly. They found drugs, cell phones, and cash on him when he was arrested.
Jesus.
And there he is on Twitch.
There he is. There is one thing, and one thing only, that one must get at Hannaford's that you can get nowhere else in the world. and that is the buffalo chicken pasta salad.
Ooh.
Have you ever had it?
I have not.
No. It is to die for.
Wow. Give it a run.
All right.
Where do you think that started?
Only when you're eating.
Greg.
I'm currently on a diet. I'm a diet all the way up until our Florida trip. So
you're
on a diet,
but you're making bread.
Well,
it's good for you, though, that bread.
But I'm not going to eat the bread. I'm just making it as an activity.
Wait, so you're not even going to eat the bread?
No.
You're just making it?
No,
what's the point of making it?
It was Lindsay's idea to do the bread thing.
I am shocked. I thought it was...
stunned.
I am embracing it right. because mm. we are simpatico.
She'll eat the bread.
God.
We are, when it comes to activities, we are always seeking couples activities, and baking bread together is a way to grow our deep love for one another.
I don't know, like read a book.
Sip and bake.
Really an individual activity.
Yeah. Now they have sip and paint, sip and bake. You know, so you bake
anyway,
the bread.
Can we get back to the news?
Yes.
I see Ty Law hanging around, so we're going to get to Ty early. So like 8:20 this morning, Ty
Law. Right.
Okay.
An irrational fear in the news. Bianca Garcia, a 22-year-old tourist, was killed by an elephant while on vacation with her boyfriend in Thailand. The 50-year-old female elephant gored Garcia with one of its tusks while she was sunbathing. She was they were among 8 visitors at the Koh Yao Elephant Care, which has now closed its doors.
Okay, I was going to say, I hope they shut the place
down. They did, yeah.
So this is what I was talking about with Costa Rica.
Yeah.
Like, you're either a vacationer or a traveler, and it is risky to go. They went to, like, this elephant park.
Correct.
To go, oh, let's look at the beautiful, cute 5,000-pound animals. And one of them just, did what it does to plants or whatever. Thought she was something that it could
right.
gore or whatever.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, let me lay down and get some sun right here next to it.
Yeah, really, really sad. Doctors are warning about winter penis.
Oh, no.
Winter penis.
Okay, what is that?
Well, according to experts, men who already suffer from ED could find their condition more difficult as the weather gets worse, as the climate goes down. And if exposure to cold happens quite frequently and doesn't stop, the sensation of pins and needles can happen before the area finally numbs.
Oh.
And the tissue freezes, damaging it forever, in some extreme cases, requiring amputation.
Jesus.
So this is an issue because of the polar vortex.
Yes.
And you are, there is a risk when it comes to even trying to make love because the weather reduces the...
Correct.
There's shrinkage.
Yes, right. Shrinkage, right. But you can't get it to a place where you could have intercourse.
Oh, boy.
Well, that's you can't be doing it outside.
I recommend stay inside.
Right.
For the next... How long is this lasting, Curtis?
Yeah, until Friday.
Penile shrinkage.
Ooh,
yeah.
It's like George.
Well, and they're saying to help combat winter penis, you need to wear insulated underwear and pants, limit your time in frigid temperatures, and you need to stay hydrated because dehydration exacerbates the effects.
That helps out too, though, because if you keep it warm and you keep it flowing, exacerbating it, you don't have to worry about the cold dong.
Don't. You should not be exacerbating too many times a week.
Oh, well, I think that's a good thing for you.
They do say to warm it up, you should do that. Yeah.
Yeah. You should definitely
And also, don't watch baseball. That doesn't help.
Yeah. The future is here, and a guy says he got trapped in a circling Waymo, which is a self-driving taxi. Mike Johns posted a video on LinkedIn. Mitch has it for those watching on Twitch, in which he was headed to Sky Harbor International Airport in Phoenix, Arizona.
I saw one right outside of there.
So wait a minute. We're already, forgive me, we're already using self-driving taxis?
Correct.
Yes.
Okay. So wait. This dude got trapped in the thing?
Correct.
And it was just going around in
circles.
Wow.
And he got very dizzy. He did make his flight on time, thank God. But the craziest part is he didn't even have to contact customer support. He said Waymo recognized that there was an issue with the routing of the taxi and contacted him through the car system saying, we can't help, basically.
Okay, but if that happened, like you got in the driverless taxi to go get your flight, and then the thing was just driving around endlessly in a circle.
Yeah.
Would you get in another one afterwards?
No way.
I was wondering what this video was.
And they
look
from the outside of the vehicle. They are so clearly, and they have all these marks that says non-manned taxi.
Uh-huh.
It is very shocking to see in real life.
Jesus. Yeah, I mean, when you saw one, wouldn't you look and go, hey, wait a minute, there's not a, like, were you freaked out because there wasn't anybody driving?
No, so I was exiting the airport, and to my right was this car that was unlike anything I'd ever seen before. It has this big sort of, like, you know how boats have those sonars on the mm-hmm. top? It has that on the top of the car, and it says all over it that it is unmanned.
Yeah.
It is bizarre to see. Wow. I don't know if that will ever feel normal. Maybe it will, but.
And how far will it take you? Will it take you?
I mean, it was driving someone from the airport somewhere in Phoenix.
Jesus.
Yeah, and this guy was going to the airport, so picked him up.
When that thing goes back and corrects its path and goes in a different direction the next day, they call that the Mayo. All right, anything else?
We have a How Creepy Is It?
Oh.
The Greg Hill Morning Show presents...
You think I am a creepy guy?
How creepy is it?
It was probably the creepiest thing I've ever seen.
Can I put the camera in the lady toilet?
And it's kind of creepy, which is nice.
Back up, you creep.
More people are suing Royal Caribbean because of that gross crew member who hid cameras in the staterooms. We've talked about this man before when he was first caught.
Yeah.
12 video voyeurism victims in total have come forward after they took a trip on the Symphony of the Sea where Arvin Joseph Mirasol hid a camera inside their bathrooms.
Oh my God.
One woman as a victim saying that her daughter was just 2 years old when they took this trip and now they're scared to use any type of public restroom. Here's attorney Spencer Ehrenfeld on WSVN.
He installed underneath the cabin bathroom sink a camera where he was recording people using the bathroom, men and women and children, in and out of the showers.
So gross.
Jeez.
I will accept a cruise a year for life. I would demand at least that, and maybe. Although, would you want to go on the boat again?
No,
I mean,
I need some money.
Nope,
I would want my own boat.
Yeah.
We need to make the punishment for this type of stuff so strong that, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like this is such an invasion.
Oh, when he gets to jail and he gets to prison, believe me.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
I mean, but I'm sure that he wasn't. I don't know. I'm not kink shaming, but I can't imagine somebody was trying to record people going to the bathroom. Like they're looking.
That's what they do.
Yeah.
They're looking for people in the shower, I would assume.
No.
And hoping that some people get it on
in the
shower.
They're freaks.
Yeah. Ew. I mean, it's like upskirting. It's a whole nother level.
Gross.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess you get it now. So now if you go on a cruise or a hotel or whatever, you're supposed to be checking for a camera.
You should be checking anytime. Airbnb, hotel, cruise.
Yeah. Don't they have like a wand? You can go around the room and it'll detect cameras.
I don't
want to
know.
Yeah. All right. Is that it?
That's it.
All right. Thank you, Courtney. Great job on the news.
Hey, thank you.
Ty Law is here. He will join us next on a Ty Tuesday with his thoughts on Gerard Mayo. Ty Law was a big Mayo guy, Wiggy, like you.
Yeah. And I bet he, like me, he believes in a lot of former players and people in the football world that to be one and done is a bad move. You didn't give a guy a chance really do anything.
Find out what he thinks about that. What Robert Kraft said about it yesterday, all of that coming up next with Ty Law. Right now, Courtney, and what is trending this hour.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Time Out Market Boston. The Bruins back in action tonight. The Oilers are in town. Puck drop is at 7, and you'll be able to watch that whole game before the Celtics are back in action in Denver to take on the Nuggets. Tip is at 10 for that one. We heard from Robert Kraft yesterday in a press conference, and while we all speculated when the decision on Gerard Mayo's future was made, Kraft gave a bit more on a timeline.
This whole situation evolved, but I'd say over the last month, I went back and forth, and I don't know, in my life and my business, I make certain decisions. I know when it's right, and it just happened. And it was very hard because of the personal relationship I feel for Gerard and the human being he is. And I felt guilty I put him in that position. But we're moving on.
We're moving on. Huh? Experience the essence of Boston's culinary and cultural scene at Time Out Market Boston, nestled in the Fenway. From live music sessions to food and beverage tastings and everything in between, Time Out Market Boston showcases the best of the city under one roof. That is what's trending. We have Ty Law coming up next. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Thank you, Courtney. It is 18, the real feel of 5, afternoon high. It'll feel like 11 in the city of Boston.
It is a Tie Tuesday, and the Hall of Famer, Ty Law, brought to you by Corvus Vodka, the official vodka of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and Ty Law, and brought to you by 110 Grill, gluten-free dining done right. Good morning and hello, and Happy New Year.
Oh, Happy New Year, guys. Good to see you. Good to see you.
How were the holidays?
I was good. It was real chill for me. I was out on the West Coast, so you got to kind of celebrate twice. You're watching the damn New York ball drop. You know, in L.A., then you gotta
drop
do it
again.
Yeah, you gotta do it again. So, you know, I get all my Happy New Year's and wishes at 9 o'clock, and then we gotta do it again.
Kids,
so weird.
The kids happy with their take when it came to Christmas gifts? And
oh yeah, yeah. I mean, yep. Everybody, I need to sell some vodka. I'm broke on December. I got two birthdays and Christmas. So yeah. So go out right. And buy a bottle.
Gotta move some vodka. Definitely gotta move some Corvus.
Yeah.
Well, that appearance that you and Wiggy did Sunday will probably help. A
little bit. Get a little something.
Nice little turn.
Did Wiggy bring his own autographed 8x10? How did that go?
Hey, Wiggy always steal the show, man. You don't realize how beloved Wiggy out here, man.
Who gets paid more for an appearance?
One's a Hall of Famer, and the other one is, you know, had a good time playing in the NFL. Yeah.
So what you're saying is one got paid cash and one got gift cards.
Which I don't mind at all.
What was the name of the place you guys were?
Maria's.
How was the food?
Food was good.
Yeah, it's good.
We had some fried raviolis, which are really good.
I had some of the lamb chops. They was off the chain.
Yeah,
the
really good.
Cool.
Good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, where are you on the dramatic news that Gerard Mayo will no longer be the head coach of the New England Patriots?
I'm all for giving a man a second chance because I think he didn't inherit a great team. So, you know, you got a rookie quarterback, a rookie head coach, and he was handpicked by Mr. Kraft himself. He admittedly said that he made a bad choice, but sometimes you just stick with it. But I guess that's how you become a billionaire. You can just walk away. You're like, hey, man, I made a mistake. I'm out. God bless. Good night. Yeah. You know what I mean? So
I mean, you think it was more Robert or more Jonathan? I mean, we saw Jonathan taking notes during games. I was there any internal turmoil on that decision?
Oh, I guess it would be, right? How much is Jonathan voice swaying his dad now, right? Where you go, hey, dad, we might have made a decision on this, even though we both love Gerard. I mean, we gotta pull the plug.
It has to be a lot because he will be the owner eventually.
He will be there, and I think it's a collective decision right now, even though Mr. Kraft is the final nail in whatever coffin is gonna happen. There, but John definitely has the influence, and like you said, he's going to be running the team, you know, at some point. So, I mean,
it's just a bad look. It's a dirt dog way of doing somebody that you claim to love.
You agree with Wiggy that it's a bad look on the organization, on Robert Kraft.
I don't think that he should have. Man, you hired him. So, what were the expectations when you hired him in the first place? Did you really thought you was going to the Super Bowl? I gave you 500, so I was wrong because I was like, you guys said he's not getting 500. I was like, man, you got to get half the damn game. But
so you were disappointed.
I was disappointed. Yeah,
you felt like with that roster with Drake May, he should have at least been 500. Is what you would.
That's what I was hoping for.
They shouldn't have got worse. I mean, I've been saying this for a while. They they were regressing, not progressing.
See, but their over-under was 4.5.
Yeah, honestly,
you said it perfect, Greg.
Week one was the best week.
Right.
Yeah.
But remember, the over and under was 4.5. So there were a lot of people, myself included, you and I, Greg, at the beginning of the year were like,
I took the under.
Me too. So the and I get they were regressing at the end of the year and it looked bad, but we've talked to Mayo, and there was probably a lot of mistakes that he was learning from that you would think maybe in year two you don't make those
same mistakes.
What was Belichick's first year? I mean, we didn't go
five games. Stop with this stupid argument.
I don't know.
Dan Campbell.
I was there.
It was four wins.
So that's what I'm saying. But the point I'm saying is, you give him another chance, because I'm like, what did he do different than a lot of other coaches? And you made the decision, let him bring his own guys in there. That's just my opinion. You know what I mean? You brought him in there. So now, guess what? You're going to move back 5, 6, 7 more years before you get another opportunity.
Curtis, you have the floor.
I would just say, who would you rank in order as the reason this team was 4-13 again? Because for me, number one is Robert Kraft. He did not invest in the offseason. He did not invest in the staff for Jerod Mayo. Number two,
Elliot Wolf. Yep.
Number three, whoever told Jerod Mayo he couldn't start Drake May week one?
Probably Elliot Wolf, so he'd be.
So there. And then I might get to Jerod Mayo at four.
Yeah. Well, so, and I got five, and it's a whole bunch of people in five. Every 53 people on that damn roster, they wasn't good. Mm-hmm. Let's call it like it is. Right. I mean, they didn't have a good roster. The cards were stacked against him when you talk about from a roster configuration standpoint.
Hold on, though. It's not really your place to criticize guys who play on that team.
Well, as a former player, I think I qualify a little bit. I'm a G14 classified.
Sometimes they just gotta know their place.
You're not going to be booing guys, are you?
Hey.
What did you? Can I just ask you in general about Jelani Tavai on this show? And did you object to fans booing when you were playing in the NFL?
No, I mean, if you pay your hard-earned money, you got a right to boo, criticize, or do whatever you want. Just like, you know, from a media standpoint. Mm. That's the job. We can say things that people may not want to hear.
Right.
Or they want to hear. But as a fan, to tell fans that come to see you to put money in your pocket to not boo or don't cross the line.
Right.
First of all, who the hell are you? Yeah, I want to say that. I mean, I'm like, when I'm sitting there looking at it, I'm like, who is this guy? Did he make any plays?
Certain people
ain't even qualified to say, sir. Like, let's call it what it is, man. What's his name? Kalani? Jelani? Kalani, whatever?
Yeah.
You ain't really that qualified to be able to make those type of statements. But
yelled back at fans, too.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. How you going to yell back at a fan? You mean, you happy to be in the locker room and be there, you know, to be honest with you. Yes, they can't do what you do or what we did, but to come out and say something like that when fans come and pay their money, man, let them boo.
Especially you're playing like ass, though. Exactly. There's a certain line you don't cross, like, about, like, maybe, you know, talking about the wife and the kids. But when you're playing like ass and somebody criticizes you, I was always from the world of, you have the right to boo me. And I could boo me, I probably would boo me too.
You damn right. That's a good game. I would have booed me too. You know what I mean? You can't even take it personal.
Yeah.
You know, at
when you're
point,
playing like that.
But don't you give Jerod Mayo credit for the fact that finally, in the final week of the season, he learned how to successfully bench a guy?
Yeah.
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 But those are the things that I was hoping that he would learn from his mistakes and say, okay, here's what I need to do different as I self-evaluate all offseason. But Kraft not even given that opportunity.
I don't think Curtis, I'd be interested in your opinion on this. I don't think he sat him for the first quarter because of the original comments. I think he sat him because Jerod Mayo told everybody that they were dealing with it internally, and then he went and doubled down on it after practice and said, you know, you can't be a critic, and I don't come to your job and tell you what you're doing wrong.
Yeah. It's unbelievable.
You don't have that type of job.
But
that's a different type of job.
If the Patriots spend this offseason, if Robert Kraft, and they have to, we all believe they will because of being compliant with the NFL CBA, then doesn't that even make the firing look worse? Like, you say you love this guy like a son. You knew 5 years ago he was your guy. And now you invest both in the staff and in the roster after you knew it wasn't going to be resolved in year one.
Right.
Like, won't the questions just say, why wouldn't you have just done this for Jerod?
Right.
He would be like, hold on about this son stuff, too. Right, guess what? Tom Brady was a son, right?
That's true.
Right. William McGinn. Hey, I was the second son, you know, because I was the second draft pick. I was always the second son after Willie. Guess what? Hell, I got fired too.
Right, right.
Yeah. So this is part of the business. Right. Damn it, coaches get fired, players get fired. He's in a position as far as being the owner, but when they talking about, you know, love and the son and all right. that, man, I got my ass fired too. So I was like, you know, that's out the window.
But remember, you guys were the adopted foster kids. Now everybody ain't gonna get the same type of love.
Yeah.
That you know that the real kids. But don't tell me that. Like, you don't need to tell me how much you love me. And I'm like a family member. Just keep it honest with me. And that's where I think Robert went wrong. And you and I know both Ty from playing. That's where I think hurt Gerard. And I said the thing that hurt Gerard the most was him blurring the lines of being the head coach, but I still want to maybe not be a friend, but I want you to – I want to fit
but
in.
But that's on him.
Yes, yeah. That's
like,
what I blame him
you
for.
You can't excuse – like, there were a bunch of – like, you bring up Jelani Tavai. There were a bunch of scrabines, as you would call them, on this team.
Yeah.
And all they did from jump is complain about stuff.
Right.
When they are not – they're not of the level of guys who – you brought it up – who, you know, have earned the right to complain.
I could never imagine complaining my rookie year to Bill Parcells or even my second or third year.
What about guys whining by like week three or four about how often they got the football and declaring that they have the best hands in the NFL? Like,
but Greg,
tweeting out a Lamborghini in a parking spot outside of a trash house. Like, what are we talking about? The whole season was like this.
Right. And Gerard Mayo could have put his foot down.
Right.
And he didn't.
Right, and that's where he blurred the line, and that's why.
Dietrich Wise said, I love Gerard. Like, this is a sad day. I love Gerard Mayo. He was a great coach, a great mentor, a great friend. So it's making the jump from
your
boss.
Greg, Wiggy and Ty Law talk all the time about the birth and creation of the Patriot Way, and it was in Ty Law and Willie McGinnis and Teddy Bruschi and Troy Brown and those guys that policed themselves. The way the team found success was because nobody wanted to walk past Willie McGinnis early without doing their post-practice work with film, whatever.
Yeah.
And
but
they
also
don't have that.
You could have on those teams, correct me if I'm wrong because I didn't play, but you could have scrubbeans who bought into the whole team thing and were like, I know what my role is here.
Right.
And it's all about the team and we're going to get it done as a team and I'm not going to whine or complain or bitch about anything publicly because I know it's the Patriots and that it's a team.
Because you got to remember, we didn't go, oh, coaches were our friends. There was a different, they were coaches, we were players, and we respected them, we worked, but we weren't hanging out with them. Right. We weren't like, oh, we're friends. Like, we weren't asking them about, like, hey, things are going on at the house. Those are what your brothers in the locker room were. And the coaches, there was no gray line. And I think that's the problem sometimes with some of these coaches today is they cloud the line of being the coach but also being your friend.
Right. I agree with you on that, Wiggy. But I also think that when you coach under Belichick, look at the coaching tree. Everyone tries to be like Bill. I had a situation in New York where Eric Mangini, who was my DB coach, and I came and I'm like, E, you trying to be like Bill? I straight up told him, I was like, you trying to be like Bill? I said, be yourself. I was able to do that because where I was at, who I was in the league. But I think Gerard coming in, he's kind of torn. Do the Patriot Way Bill's way, or do I create a new Patriot Way? He has that. He's probably thinking, like, I have to do it this way.
Right.
I got hired because Bill ran it this way. I got to be extension of Bill.
He tried to do everything the polar opposite of Bill Belichick.
I think he was trying to be extension, you know, of Bill.
You think he was? I think they told him, you know, we're fed up with this guy. We're taking our team back. And that Gerard Mayo said, all right, Gerard, we want you to be collaborative. Gerard, we want you to, you know, every time you speak, we want you to be transparent, say how you feel, and then wait a second. What do you mean? You said you're going to burn cash? We don't have the cash. They wanted it both ways, and they couldn't get it from him.
Right, but
and
think about it. Everything that he knows about the league came through Belichick. So how are you going to peel that? At least, let's say somebody like Mike Vrabel. He never coached under Bill Belichick. Mm-hmm. So he went and got his coaching experience elsewhere. He played, which that might be an advantage to if he was to come here because he remembers the old school. Because I'm sitting there rooting for Mike Vrabel. I'm saying it right now. I'm rooting for Mike Vrabel.
Right. Everybody,
you want Mike Vrabel?
I would love to see Mike Vrabel because
why?
He did not coach under Bill Belichick. So, and he's going to remember what the old Patriot way was and how we did things. He's going to have credibility as a three-time Super Bowl champion. And like I said, he didn't coach under Bill.
Okay.
He got all his stuff somewhere else. Gerard played under Bill. He coached under Bill. So it was an extension of Bill no matter what you look at it. Mike Vrabel was coming with his own identity and saying, look, I'm here. He can look at everybody out there. Ain't none of you guys champions.
Okay, so that's good stuff. So you think Mike Vrabel is the guy because he knows the way things were done here as a player.
Yep.
But he's not, if you think any of Bill's stuff is bad stuff, he's not influenced by that.
No, he's not going to be influenced. From a coaching standpoint, no. I mean, from a player standpoint, he has that, hey, I played in this era. He knows what we are here in New England. He's going to bring back a certain culture if he was able to come here. I really believe that he is the best fit no matter what. Now, you can go totally different and bring somebody else in. But
like Ben Johnson or somebody.
Right. But why would you want to do that when you can have Mike Vrabel walking in the building? You're going to see his pictures up there as a player, not as a coach. You're going to see him as a player. I mean, what he's done, you know, for this team. Man, come
but
on.
But see, the other thing I look at, but here's the difference, though, and this is where I feel, because Mayo had all the qualities of the player thing, but it's really about the personality. Like Vrabel's personality, and you know, and I didn't play with Mayo, but you could tell Mayo's personality is a little bit different. Where Vrabel's personality is, I don't give a F about you telling me how great your hands are or you telling me how much playing time will you want. Where I think that where Mayo came in, his personality is like, hey, listen, I understand, guys, how it is. I understand the difficulties of being an NFL player. And, you know, so he handled, and it can work, but I think in some cases, it, you know, he handled guys a little bit more coddling of them, of saying, hey, everybody got a voice.
Yeah.
Where I don't think
But Wiggy, don't you think that was impacted by the way the organization dealt with, say, Matthew Judon? Because we all believe that was the beginning of the end during training camp.
Yeah.
We talked about it at the time. Yes. Remember that?
Yeah. I mean,
Matthew Judon is dressing him down in front of everybody and embarrassing him. And he's like, hey, he has a right to speak.
No, he don't. Some things you don't do and you don't tolerate. If that was to ever happen with Coach Belichick in the public setting, he'll handle it, and you might not be there the next day, depending on who you were.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So I just think that from a player's perspective, I don't know if he garnered the respect that he should have as the head coach, and he might have been too cool of being like with the players. Because look, Belichick was always cool. You know, you can sit around and you can talk to him outside of football, real cool, but you always understood that he kept that level of separation as the coach.
Ty Law is here. We got to take a break on a Ty Tuesday, but you're here for a little bit, right? Yep. All right, Ty is here. And we are going to, later on, we're going to give Hill Notes second whirl, so you can leave us a message at any time.
Second time ever done.
Unbelievable idea, Curtis.
I really been workshopping it.
Out of the blue. And the concept is really unique.
Never been done.
Never been done. So on the Odyssey app, you can leave us a voice message on any topic.
And don't tell anybody that we're doing it because we're doing it first.
And it's really simple. Look for the microphone, upper right-hand corner, app, leave message. We play later. Ty Law next. Hard to believe one will never see that band play live ever again. Great song, Chime. By the way, gone the whole show. And you haven't mentioned that your guy is headlining Boston Calling.
I know, Dave Matthews on Sunday.
Oh, my Lord, Sean.
I couldn't believe it.
How many days are you taking off to go to the concert?
You're going to have to flex that Monday.
No, I won't. Oh, no,
Monday will be Memorial Day, so you'll be all set.
Oh, perfect. Yeah. There you go.
Ty Law's here. Before we get to the most entertaining play of the game, where are you so far on the college playoff system?
I love it. I think it's brought some more excitement to it. I mean, different teams, not always the same teams all the time. They might be in it, but you never know. It's kind of like the NFL playoffs. It starts a whole new season once you get in. So I'm loving it. The only thing that I don't like is Ohio State getting this far. I don't like that.
They have a legitimate chance to win the whole thing,
that's
too.
That's what I'm saying, because the way things played out. So I don't like that, but
they stomped Oregon.
Exactly.
They stomped them. I mean, my Bulldogs are up, but I think that they're probably the favorite.
Do you want Ohio State to make it all the way and then lose embarrassingly in the championship? Like, where do you fall as a Michigan fan?
No, because it's a chance when you get there. It's a chance when you get there. But
we don't even want them in the big game.
No, we got bragging rights because we beat them.
Right.
You know what I mean, as far as that little rivalry. Mm-hmm. But, you always got to – against them a little bit.
When it comes to extending the season mm-hmm. and more football at this time, I think it's great.
Yeah, I love it. I told you what I would do. I would eliminate the conference championships. I would do it like the FCS does it. I would add more teams, and I would use the bowl locations, some of those bowl locations, because you can't get rid of those bowls,
right,
to play some of those playoff games.
Yes.
And I would add the more teams, and I would do just like the FCS does and get rid of the conference championships. The conference championships are useless. And so in the FCS, they do 24 teams. And granted, like, there might be some blowouts, but you're always going to see that anyways. I'd rather watch a blowout playoff game than watch a crappy bowl game. No offense, Wasabi Bowl.
So do away with the conference championships, and then you eliminate the issue that they had this year,
yep,
which is the byes.
Yep.
Because some people were unhappy. Like, the byes, the suggestion is that the byes should be based on seeding.
Yes. And you could still do the buys, because the FCS, they do the buys as well. So you could still do the buys. You would just do it based off of seeding. And then you would have the bowl games you could keep for location. So now fans could go, okay. And I get some people want that first home game, which you probably could still figure that one out. But people could say, you know what, now we're going to go to Fenway and see two teams play in the playoffs that are going to be a lot more interesting.
Yeah, but I think it's the history of college football. Like, people, for whatever, they so used to seeing those conference, those championship games. It's usually a pretty big game, especially when you're talking about the SEC, Big Ten. And it's like, it's going to be hard to get people to not want to see that.
What about the ratings?
It's a revenue generator as well. There's a lot of money being made on those things.
What about the ratings you could get if you actually televised the conference committee meeting? The deliberations about deciding which seed is where.
And how they decided that.
Wouldn't that be better for transparency?
I mean, I think it definitely would. I love it. And so I'm just kind of like, throwing my ish at the wall and see what sticks.
They need a commissioner.
Yeah, they definitely need
a commissioner.
People are lobbying for, or people are saying Nick Saban should be the guy, which I think, he would probably understand all of those things that need to be done, because I love college football, and I think it's great that we get to see Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday.
Yes.
I mean, it's 5 days of football playoffs starting Thursday, which is awesome. NFL and college. All right, most entertaining play of the game is brought to you by Apex Entertainment. Experience the thrills at Apex Entertainment in Marlboro. Any suggestions from the one?
Easy choice. The touchdown that got taken away due to a penalty from Joe Milton, where he spun out of three sacks and then threw an absolute laser beam. Yes, to Pop Douglas.
He played pretty well.
Yeah.
Joe Milton played well. I know he's playing against the Backos, but he showed something. Yeah. He played pretty good.
Okay. I mean, can we pump the brakes a little? I mean, it was against guys who they just brought in.
You didn't like the backflip, Greg? You didn't like the backflip?
No, I mean, I understand. He looked really good against a football team that was doing whatever they possibly could to lose a football game. I mean, I don't.
I think it's just more of his skill set. Like, I took away.
Would you keep him around, or would you trade him, like, if you could get a fifth or a sixth or whatever?
I would play him a lot in the preseason, and then I would try to trade him. Because I think off of his skill set, he looks like Cam Newton 2015, just how his athletic abilities, his size, the way he kind of moves. So I would play him a lot in the preseason. And then I would see you drafted him with a 6th-round pick. Maybe you can get a 3rd or a 4th-round pick for a guy like that, because, he's not going
to
play.
I got a question for you guys. Was y'all rooting for the Patriots to lose to get the first pick? I mean, what did y'all stand on that?
Yes.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
But do you think, as players, that Gerard is going to go out there and coach his team to lose. We don't do that, no. Wiggy. You know that. You know everybody.
No, but what? Okay, yeah, we got to drop that. Put in the swear jar. Yeah. We got if you call something. Guess what? How you gonna get respect as a coach? We know that was a terrible call. You trying to lose, man?
Yeah,
right. We don't care about that. I'm auditioning for the next season. I probably ain't gonna be here anyway. Right. So you ain't gonna do that.
We had to dump out of that, but you said BS. You're calling or you're putting BS guys in or whatever you said. Wiggy was suggesting that you could have, at least on the offensive side of the football, you could have designed plays that were not destined for success.
Yeah, it's third and seven. Run the ball. Okay, now, depending on the situation, what do you think the players are going to do, Wiggy?
Oh, the players.
We're going to compete regardless. The players are competing. I'm not saying the players are competing. The only outcome of the game controlled by is the coaches. But I'm saying if it's third and seven and you run the ball, you're less likely to make a first down versus calling a pass play. That's how you might control the outcome. But
you could lose your team like that more than what you already may have, because now you're sitting there, you're playing for the first pick,
right?
Which is currency.
Ty, who's going to be back on this team? Who do you want back on this team anyway? I don't care if you lose them.
I know, but that's my point. They're going to play hard to win.
Do you think the Bills players cared about playing to lose?
They didn't look. They were still going out there to compete too.
Yeah, the players are competing.
The players is competing.
Yeah, the players.
Can't tell me to go out there and lose for the first pick that I'm not. I don't know what he's going to do anyway. No. Now it's currency.
Imagine being Joe Milton. You have the best tape now. Going into next season.
You're
going
to go out there and play.
Yeah, the players are competing.
Sean McDermott had no problem declining the penalty, because he was coaching to lose.
Right. You know how the players know we're losing is, like I said, it's third and ten. And we call a draw.
Yeah.
I'm like, really? We're running the football on third and 10? But I'm still competing to block my ass off.
And yep.
The running back's still competing to try to pick it up because he's trying to put good tape on film. But the coaches know, don't kick a field goal. All right, we'll go for it rather than kick a field goal.
Right.
And that's the way that the coaches put their hand in losing. I agree. The players, most of the time, we don't even know what draft pick that the team's getting. We're just like, I need to do what I got to do so I have a job next year.
This reminds me, I don't think I've ever asked you this. What were you tanking for at Brockton?
Great.
All right.
Oh.
All right. We have got
like Mayo, I was told one thing and done another thing.
Unbelievable.
I think we have to take a break. Ty Law.
And there's this really good eighth grader. That's what we were tanking for.
Ty Law is here on a Ty Tuesday. We'll be right back.